You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now, we have just sitting amongst us, we have an extremely successful entrepreneurial athlete.
A winner.
Come inspirational leader, talker, and physical specimen. I don't mean that by the fact that I'm looking at her saying she's a physical specimen, but she's into being physical and being fit. And associated with wellness, and she has a whole lot of other strings to her bow. Her name is Lorene. I'm saying your name is Bavart.
Very well said. It's Thank you Bavart. So much. Yes, it is.
Lorene Bavart. What is Bavart?
French?
It's French, but I have Dutch parents, so that's where it's originally.
French, Dutch.
Well done.
Yeah.
Now, you must get sick of this, but I'm just saying it. Not your main credential is, but one that people might know you primarily for, is that you were the winner of the second series of Gladiators back in...
97, 96, somewhere there.
Okay, I it says here...
Maybe it
95,
is.
96.
Well, there you go.
Whatever. Now, just on Gladiators, before we get into all your other all-round talent... How did you get onto Gladiators in the first place, and what is the premise of the show, in case people don't know?
So I got on the show, I was a phys ed teacher. I was teaching at Little High School, and I was at home doing some schoolwork, school preparation, and I had the TV on in the background. And this ad comes on, we're looking for our next group of contestants for Gladiators, and I thought, wow, how cool would that be? Because I was practicing karate, I was competing around the world, and I thought, what a great way to lift up my profile to get some scholarship. So I got in the car a couple of weeks later, drove down to Festival Hall, and there was about 2,000 or 3,000 other athletes. They're all people, I should say, from all different backgrounds. You know, your nurses, mums, dads, bodybuilders, aerobic instructors, and everyone's checking each other out, right? Oh, he looks great. Oh, my goodness, look at her, right?
These are females.
Females and males.
Oh, males.
Right?
So
it's just everyone's just looking at all these great athletic people. They bring us in, and it was run by Bob Jones, who the martial artist, and he... gave us a quick briefing. It's going to 9-minute fitness routine. Mm-hmm. Going to play a couple of games, and then you're going to have a little bit of an interview. And it was a 9-minute fitness routine. And I thought, well, I do karate for an hour and a half. I run for 30 minutes, and I do weights. What's 9 minutes, right? So it's 9 minutes upper body, 9 minutes core, 9 minutes leg. Sorry, 3 minutes, 3 minutes, and 3 minutes legs. And it was one of the hardest things that I'd ever done. Like, people didn't get through it. Got through it, practiced a couple of the gladiator games like duel and practice your balance and so forth. And then they took us into a room. Lights, camera, action. Put a microphone in front of me and said, why should we choose you to be on the next show of Gladiators?
Oh, really? Straight away?
Straight away.
There was no think about it.
I just want to see your personality, just how you come across. So that was just one of those things. I had to wait for the letter in the mail. That's how old it was. And this letter came. It said, Lorene, congratulations. You've been chosen to be on the show as a challenger. So they flew us up to Boondall in Queensland. That's where it was filmed. There was probably about 30 challenges.
Mm.
And then they cut that list again to about 25, 20, because they wanted to see if you were scared of heights, if you were able to play the games. And then it went on from there.
So when they said, why do you want to be on Gladiators, what did you say?
I can't really remember. I probably would have said, hey, I'm a phys ed teacher, I've got 1,000 students at school, what a great role model, I do karate, and I wanted to come and really check me out, see what my expertise was like. Something across the lines of that, with lots of energy. So, yeah.
Did you ask them what the fiscal remuneration was, or was that not part of it?
That wasn't part of it.
What was the fiscal remuneration? What did they offer the
prize?
Winner? Yes.
So the prize was a car, a trip for two to Bali, a mobile phone.
Ah, because you were a contestant, weren't you?
I was a contestant.
She wasn't actually on the show at that stage.
I was a challenger, which they call contenders now. So I was going up against another contender, and the gladiators were my obstacles. So you have a series of games.
Yep.
Right? And both of us play the game against different gladiators. We get 5 points or 10 points or no points. And the more points that you have, the more head start you have in the eliminator, who decides who goes on to the next challenge. Mm. So if you heat, quarterfinal, semi-final and grand final. So now I'm in the grand final. Channel 7, the producers of Gladiators come up to me and say, Lorraine, you have done so well. If you win tonight, just a bit of extra pressure, we'd love you to join the team as our new Gladiator.
That's a bit of an incentive.
Yeah. Well, but they also had a car to win, a trip for two, mobile phone. So, like, you know, that was also a great incentive. And back in the day, like, you know, thinking back in 97, around there, that was huge.
And you won the car.
I won the car.
Beautiful.
To keep the car.
So then, like, I always used to get leave without pay to compete with my karate, right, around the world. So I leave my lessons planned, teacher would come in, and off I'd go. So I'd come back to Little High School, and my principal was the name of John Bennison, and I said, hey, John, I've been asked to come and, you know, be a gladiator. The filming goes for 3 weeks. Can I get leave without pay? And he actually said no.
Leave without pay from what?
Teaching.
Pardon me.
And
I know a John Bennison, but obviously it's not that John Bennison.
And I've gone, oh, no. I was stuck for words. I resigned on the spot. I was head of department, secure job, like, you know, been there for a while to be a gladiator. I mean, that's a fork in the road. Like, where does that go? I had no idea. But I took that and it just opened up so many more doors for me.
Now, as a gladiator, because the gladiators got names.
Yes.
Do you get to pick your name or that's given to you?
No, it's given to us.
What was it?
It was Glacier.
Yeah, I've got that written down. You were called Glacier. No, I'm glad you mentioned it, Ivan, because I probably wouldn't have.
What made you pick Glacier?
Well, they chose it for me. They said because my steely blue...
Ah, the blue eyes. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah,
ice in the veins. Yeah, like, ice in the nothing veins. Would...
Very nice.
I know, rattle my...
Rattle the opponents.
Yeah.
But you weren't just, like, in sports. Like, your background was in martial arts.
Oh, and that was the perfect preparation, right? Yeah. So if you think about it, martial arts is a contact sport, semi-contact, but you're used to being the wrestling and the hitting. Mm-hmm. Every drill we did at training was like a minute, 30 seconds. I was strong. I was competing, you know, for Australia around the world, so I'd done my weight training and so forth. So all of a sudden I'm coming up against gladiators who are a little bit smaller, haven't got their condition, still really good athletes, and I'm nearly 6 foot. Like, I was just...
Are you that tall?
Nearly, yeah. Are you that small? Little rocket pocket.
No short jokes.
Mr. Bennison, did you say Mr. Bennison? For God's sake, man, give us a break. Or did you say, well, up yours, Mr. Bennison?
I was actually gobsmacked. Like, it was actually a silence because probably for 5 years before that, it wasn't an issue. Mm. Now, all of a sudden, I couldn't.
You think it was the attention?
It.
Maybe the attention of the show?
I don't know, but it did so much for the school, like 1,000 kids. Like, wow. Like, I've
they would love
so
it, right?
many messages now. Oh, Miss Bev, do you remember me? I was in your PE class in year 10. I cheered you on. Like, had such a huge impact on kids back then because it was a sport where there was role models, especially for younger women, females, had these iconic gladiators, Flame, Fury, Glacier.
You know. Mr. Bennison, what a stinker. I mean, seriously, mate, fair dinkum. You've got to just look at the bigger picture. It just says here that you've won 3 karate world titles, 2 worlds, whatever that was, 2 world cups. World, cups.
Yep, that's
cool. And you've won a world championship. Is that 6, 7 titles?
Oh, no, it's 5 titles. That's enough.
Very flippant, isn't it?
That is.
It was my life, right? I lived and breathed it. I just loved martial arts. And I started that because I got followed home from college and I was a big fan of Bruce Lee. And who's not?
It's true.
Yeah, well.
I wouldn't like to cross you in the dark alley. Just trust me, seriously.
I don't want to be in a dark alley.
Just before we get on to what else you do, this led to... You personally trained, Russell Crowe, and you were about to do a health regime with Shane Warne, and I think this is right, I think you had Shane had arranged to do a series of sessions with you while he was away in Thailand, where he
Thailand,
was,
yeah.
where he
Thailand, yeah.
passed away, and you were to take over his fitness regime when he came back. Is that
so? Not quite.
Not
so
quite,
I trained Shane Warne for his comeback after he got suspended.
Yep.
And been training him any time he was in Australia, whether it was a 4-week block, 6 weeks block, and he sent me a text message while I was in Thailand. Hey, Lorraine, I'm going to be back soon. Let's do another 4-week block. You know what it's like. You know,
yep.
I want to lose weight and da da da. And just a huge loss. Like,
very sad, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, I still can't believe that he's not here.
No. How did you find out that Shane...
I come home from the gym and my kids have gone, Mum, there's news about Shane Warne. I don't think he's here anymore.
Was that at midnight?
No, I think it was in the morning. Oh, that's yeah, when I heard it.
Yeah, I think yeah. I heard it at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, okay, so it would have been when I would have been asleep by then.
Yep. Well, I was asleep the... phone just I heard it buzz. Yes. I don't know why I was
woke up.
And I just collapsed. Like, oh, like it just hit me in the gut and the heart. It's like, no way.
It was a big one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think, you know, everyone can feel his energy not here.
But how was his health? He seemed healthy, right? It's kind of unusual.
I mean, like, he was up and down like your yo-yo. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was unbelievable.
What are some stories about him in the gym?
He was a big smoker, but, like, he always, like, went to the gym and worked out hard and loved his boxing, hated doing the bike. And we'd, you know, he'd go for walks and things like that, so...
Was he stubborn? Did he, no, if you told him to do, like, he was really serious about it?
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yep.
Professional athlete. Like,
yeah, true.
Start at 10 o'clock, he'd be there ready to go at 9:45.
And he was a charming person, wasn't he?
He was a charmer. Loved it. Yep. Lots of energy.
Yep.
Always got a story. So many friends, mates. Like, yeah, just incredible person. Love him dearly. Miss him dearly.
True Aussie hero.
True Aussie hero. And his kids are doing great. Like, to see Jackson Warne come out of his...
Yes. We had Jackson on here 3 weeks ago for the heart tests.
Yeah, amazing.
Before the Boxing Day test.
Yeah.
So then you trained Russell Crowe. Mm-hmm.
Work with anyone, right?
For Gladiator.
What did you say then?
If you can work with Russell, you can work with anyone. Yeah. Right?
Was he a bit difficult? Is he?
Oh no! Look, just demanding. I think people of that caliber, they want to be the best, so they demand the best, and there's demands around that. So, and I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. He can be very selfish and self-orientated, and that's where he got to where he is, but he's a loving family man. He's very generous.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lorraine, what does that mean? What demands would he put on you when you were training him or overseeing his fitness? Would you say you've got to be disciplined, and he'd say, no, I'm not doing this, or what do you mean by he was demanding?
So, like, that was back...
Oh, you're at his beck and call.
Beck and call. Mm-hmm. So... You know, if I said to him, well, let's train at 10 o'clock, and he will go, oh, no, we'll do 7, and I could be at the gym at 7, he won't arrive till 10.
Yeah, that kind of
and that's just what it is. That's what you get paid for, and I understand that. So that's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
And that's what you get well paid for. That's why you travel with them.
So you travelled with him?
Yeah, travelled with him since I did the movie Proof of Life.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
What year was that?
Yeah, about...
What do you mean, 98, 99, somewhere around there, I think.
So you started training him, and then he said, well, I need you constantly. You better come on a tour with me or whatever.
So how it happened, I was training at a recreation Armidale. Iconic, everyone knows where that is. Mm-hmm, This is when I was doing the gladiators. I left phys ed teaching to be a gladiator. That's when I started my personal training business. And then a gentleman by the name of John Toomey, who was working at Richmond Footy Club, came up to me and said, Lorraine, Russell Crowe is looking for a personal trainer, a female personal trainer. And I sort of knew of Russell, but not really well, because it's just a romper stomper I think he'd done then.
It was excellent, that one.
Yeah, so a friend of his rang me and just asked some questions. And are you single? Have you travelled much? Do you do karate? Just sourcing where
Russell
I was at.
Russell asked you that?
No, a friend of his.
Oh, yeah, the mind.
Obviously, she would have gone back to him. And I didn't think any more of it. And then I come home one day and there's the old telephone with a red light flashing. There's a message. And I went to press it and it's, hey, Lorraine, this is Russell Crowe. Give me a call on 02603. I'm going, oh, my gosh. So then I rang him and then just a quick few questions. And then next day I was on a plane to Coffs Harbour. Get to Coffs Harbour, there's no one there to pick me up. And I thought, I wonder if this is a test whether I can find my way around to where he lives.
This is a Crowe test.
It's a regional airport. I'll go and ask the Qantas staff if, you know, they know where he lives. So fair enough, they did. And they little Nana Glen, this is how you get there. So I got in a taxi, probably 30 minutes from Coffs Harbour, get there up the big long driveway, and his ma and his pa are there. And I said, hi, my name's Lorraine. I've come for an interview with Russell. And it's, oh, he's busy at the moment, so I'm having a cup of tea with his mum and dad for a couple of hours, and then Russell comes out, typical Russell, RM boots, flannelette shirt, shorts, Cobra hat, g'day Lorraine, let's jump on the bikes. And the next couple of hours, he's going ATV bikes around his farm, asking a few questions, and I started a couple of weeks later.
So at this stage, Mr. Benison had not let you do this, but did you have to drop everything just to do this, or what were you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I was just personal training, right? Yeah. So I just came back and I thought, I've got to grab this opportunity. That was only supposed to be for 6 months, but it went to 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And where did it, so did the junket of Gladiator, yep. and just travel. Like, it just, I wish I was more present in the moment, and if I look back at it now, what an opportunity that was, right?
Yeah.
So when you're in it, it just happens so quick, and the people that you meet. And
well, where did you go, and who did you meet?
You name them.
Well, where did you go with, you followed him, or you were his companion while he was making films?
Yeah, everywhere. So basically I was living with him 24/7.
Really?
So I'm Russell on the farm, Park. You travel with him, he goes to a press junket, we went to Italy, to Rome.
Were you there during the Gladiator film?
Towards the end of it.
Towards the end, yeah.
Were you there when he's, what is his partner or his
Danielle.
Girlfriend? Danielle.
Yeah, all that there, and the kids, his wedding, went to the wedding.
Yep.
All that.
Yeah. And so, countries you went to, where was he?
Poland was where Proof of Life, yep. UK, I've got to think about all these things now, Ecuador.
Mexico.
Yep.
Lots of different places.
And then you were sort of given the domicile of his, want of a better word, his bodyguard or his security. You were assigned to be his security.
Well, I wasn't assigned. I was his personal trainer. But because of my background, one lesson I always learned in martial arts is not to put yourself in that situation, is awareness. So there were times where I would say to his other personal assistant, Mark, say, Mark, we've got to get out of here. Like, I can see this is brewing. So someone who's such, you would know it, like Sam, when someone is well known, they try and antagonise you, they try to feed you.
It's interesting you say that because we had that...
Tony.
Tony who? The man who was the man who was the stunt actor, not a stunt,
Richard Norris?
Richard Norton.
Richard Norton. He said exactly that, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said... He was assigned to be look after. Who did he look after?
Linda Ronstadt.
He followed them around, and he said, you just got to be aware that people are going to try and take a rise out of you and divert. Don't want to get in fights with anyone, and you don't want to be doing and drawing guns.
But was there an incident that happened or something where you had to use a little bit of your argy-bargy?
There was. In Mexico, he always did a big welcome party for all the extras and all the actors, which is always a really nice thing, and gave out gifts. And there was just this group of guys. I could just see it brewing and... And then just they get closer and closer. And I say, like, we've got to get out of here. It's like this far away from just exploding. And
arcing
then
up.
Just someone threw a punch and it was on. And I don't know what happened, but people saw me taking people off and helping this one. I don't know. But and I just got him out of there.
So Russell's running away and you're in there and cleaning up the mess.
The Mexican lads would have thought you were fair game for a whole lot of reasons because you're a good-looking person and you're a blonde and you're a female and they wouldn't suspect that you'd be able to hold your own perhaps against them.
That is true. It's a pretty scary place to live. Like,
they're a bit rough south of the border, aren't they?
24/7 security on us. They followed us everywhere and, very corrupt city, unfortunately.
They don't muck around down there, do they?
So now, Lorraine, you, I think, concentrate on helping people maybe who are over 40 and starting to lose their desire of fitness. You're into anti-aging treatments and doing fitness without weights, and you are into the general well-being of people as they get on in life. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. I love to help women, but men as well, to thrive. And there's so many simple steps that people don't implement that can help them. Like, I think the 20s and the 30s, people let it go for so long, and it comes in the 40s and it starts to creep in. And it's just things like getting your steps in, your hydration, your sleep, and lifting a bit of weights, resistance work, and obviously supplementation to accelerate that. And just to make women feel good about themselves, because all their hormones go wacky, they don't feel confident, they start to put more weight on, and it's just about embracing them and showing them steps.
I don't know, there's a few hormones in here, but they're men hormones that go a bit cranky.
Too. Yeah, like I said, I do help the guys too.
You would have a lot in common with Sue Stanley, who was a world-class athlete and
legend.
Into all that. How did you know Sue Stanley, OAM?
I reckon it was John Toomey, wasn't it? I think, because I'm a good friend of John Toomey.
Recreation.
Yeah, recreation.
Aerobics, right?
Just around the traps there, I think. I mean, I admired you because obviously what you've done in senior career from a sporting background, getting into the media, but then what you've done after it in how you respond to just the general public, because you've been up there. I mean, you've trained the best of the best, your knowledge, but then you can turn that into just an average, everyday person and assist with them. So I've followed your career forever and a day. Absolute legend. So,
yeah.
Well done.
We've been big supporters of each other.
So in general, Lorraine, it's not necessarily I presumed for people to go, men and women, to go to gyms and pump weights and bloody. You can live a moderate, pretty healthy life that gives you fitness and well-being by simple steps of you're not into advocating people go and knock themselves dead by lifting weights and having hernias.
I just think that all that hard CrossFit, that cardio, people when they want to lose weight or to get into shape, that's one of the first things they want to do is just kill themselves. When really all it is trying to hit 10,000 steps a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you break it up over the day. If you can't get 10,000, then do 7,000. But steps is amazing. Hydration, 3 to 4 litres. It's amazing how many people are chronically dehydrated. And to top that up with electrolytes so the body absorbs it. Protein, protein, protein.
So what's that mean? Protein?
Meat?
Not enough people have enough protein where it helps you, your hormonal health,
what's
bone
protein?
Health.
What do you mean by protein?
Eating more protein. So
what is protein?
Eggs. Eggs. Cottage cheese. There's some yogurts in it now.
Mm-hmm.
Different meats. And obviously you've got your whey proteins. You've got your protein
bars. Yeah, like your
bars.
Protein powder you put in your drinks in the morning. Yes.
So that is so important to maintain your muscle. And especially after 40, right? And you want to get yourself ready for when you're 60, 70, 80 and beyond. So if you fall, you don't break your bones.
Mm-hmm.
And not that you can still pick up your grandchildren. And resistance training, whether that's just push-ups, air squats at home, some light dumbbells, Pilates, going to the gym. And you don't have to spend an hour. You're like, if you did 20 minutes, you'd be surprised what that does.
So I went to see a man the other day, 2 days ago, about my ankle, having it replaced. And he said to me, you'll be 80 next year. And I said, really? What did you say? He said, he wasn't having a go. He said, I'm looking at your birth date. He said, you'll be 80 next year. I said, holy shit. I said, how extraordinary is that? I actually went into a decline and I thought, what a
fetal position.
In front of him.
Possibly any point having anything done to you. I know exactly what people are talking about. Now, you say that you keep away from junk foods. What does that mean, junk foods? You hear this?
It's all in moderation, right? Like, I love my chocolate. I love ice cream. But it's all the sugary and artificial food. Like, when people are hungry sometimes, if they don't have enough protein, for example, because it makes you feel fuller, stops the sugar cravings, they'll go for that muffin, which probably has about 400 calories in it, instead of having a piece of chicken and salad, right? That's okay to do that in moderation. Alcohol's another one. It's just a killer when you get older. Like, it amazes me how many people don't do anything about their health until it's compromised. Then it's catch-up mode.
Yeah, prevention is better than cure.
Prevention is key.
Mm-hmm.
So what steps are you putting in place to prevent? Another really good way, like, just think of a snakes and ladders board, number 1 to 100. So the average expectancy age for a woman is about 80. I'd say a man's probably a bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
How many squares have you got left? I'm going to use myself. I'm 58. How many great years do I have left? I'm going to make the most of it. Exactly. And when you start to think like that, it's like, oh, my gosh.
And it gets less and less as you get older, isn't it?
That's a thought for me, Lorraine.
Yeah, you are a prime example of someone who looks after themselves.
You're nearly off the board, though, up the ladder.
I don't have a square left.
Yeah, you do. But they also are saying they think the population's going to live longer because there's so many much more education out there. There's fitness apps, food apps. People are a lot more mindful of self-care that they think that'll extend eventually. So I don't know about everyone else who's listening to this, but when I get to 70, 80 and 90, I want to be able to move my body. I want to be able to think. I want to be able to pick up my grandchildren and not be sucked to a chair or bedridden to look after my health and just whittle my life away.
Yeah.
You got one life.
You're preaching to the converted.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when you can't do any of those things. You have no option. You have no option but to exist, don't you?
Sad.
Hence the fact that if someone said, when I get to that stage, could you just turn off whatever's going on or put a pillow over me and smother me? You don't have any option, but you just have to, you have to exist.
You have to exist.
And very, very deep here we're getting in the ring. So did you, as a result of... as a result of being with Russell Crowe, did other people gravitate towards you and say, well, I'd like you to... have you had any other job offers to do all this? And would you take them up? And who has offered you jobs?
I love what I do now. So I just work from home, on my phone, wherever I am. An online business where I help with those points I exactly said to women and men too. And I just find that very rewarding. I get time to spend with my kids. I get to choose the time I want to work, generate good income. I do these podcasts I love doing. I get to meet great people. If someone came up to me now and said, look, Lorraine, I'd love you to go and train such and such, I don't know if I would.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I've got two young kids. Well, they're teenagers now, and mm-hmm. they need their mum. And how many years have I got left before they are off?
So did you back on the glitzy side of things. Did you did you go to any of the gala events with Russell Crowe, like to the Oscars when he? I don't know if you're around when he got nominated for The Beautiful Mind. Or
went to all the pre parties and the Oscars itself. He only has so many tickets, but I was in the 2,000 cars of limousines that dropped the people off. The party, it's amazing. It's incredible.
Were you in the cars beside him, looking after him?
In the car with him.
Yes, yep. That's what I mean.
As he popped out. So there's 2,000 limousines. It's amazing how.
And
it's
you'd
going.
Get out with him. And
no, I stayed in the car for that time. The Golden Globes, I've been with him.
And you just keep in the background and just keep an eye on what's going on and always aware of
what's
not
happening.
Necessarily what he's doing, what other people around him are doing.
If Harvey Weinstein got a bit too friendly, you were ready to pounce.
Because he lived in Sydney as well, so any time we'd go for a walk and whatnot, like it doesn't take long before the paparazzi followed. And we didn't like it if you go out for food or have lunch. They always want to get you and have that mouth of food and... You know, things like that. So it would be very aware of where they were. And I said, hey, there's one over your shoulder. There's one over here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a generous employer, was
he? Oh, yeah, amazing. Amazing. Gifts and spoil, yeah, absolutely. Take us away on trips, things, yeah.
And he had a set salary and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he didn't pay that. The movie pays my salary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he would put me on a retainer in between movies.
And are you still in... touch with him or
no? Unfortunately, not now.
Yeah, like, no, that'd be fair.
Times evolve, and he moves on, and I move on, and
you parted company in a friendly way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
What a great part of your career and life that would have been. No,
incredible.
Seriously,
absolutely incredible.
Yeah. And so you have clients now. Is it clients by appointment, or what is your vocation now?
Okay, so help women with all those health tips I was talking about.
How do you help them? Do they contact you?
Oh, they contact me either through my email, through my website, Instagram.
What's that?
Very, very popular. So my website is just myname.com. Mm-hmm. So www.lorrainebevart.com.
But it's Bevart is B-E-V-A-A-R-T.
R-T. Yeah. Instagram is just Lorraine Bevart. And it's very, I know there's not many people called Lorraine Bevart, so I think I'm about the only one.
It's an original name.
So you're going to find it. Anyone called Lorraine?
Yeah, and I'm on TikTok too. I can't believe that, but I am.
You're a TikTok girl.
People reach out to you on these platforms.
Yeah, they send a message.
And you
respond. Reach out to them and I respond, yeah. And then we do I get them on a Zoom. I love getting on a Zoom. If I can locally, I'll jump have a coffee with them. Mm-hmm. But if they're, I'll jump on Zoom, have a chat, see where they are. They do a bit of an alignment check, fill out a form, and we'll go take up next steps from there.
Are your clients predominantly females? Or?
Yeah, they are, because that's what I like to talk to. That's who I like to work with. They're the ones I find are really struggling. I think it's because I'm around that circle. Men are too, for sure. I have many men clients, but my focus is women.
And the men are—they're more vanity. Well, I'm not sure that.
Well, no, not really. Just they want to get their health back. But they need support.
You do mind as well. Like you mindset, take it to, like mind setting and stuff like that. So it's not just the physical side of things. You really reset the mind.
What do you listen to? What are you reading? Like, be careful who you surround yourself with. Like, That's really important.
God, I should be your number one client. Who do I surround myself with? We just had him in here before. I'm only joking. The mind is probably more important. The spirit, physical, mental, and the spirit. That's probably the spirit and the mind are probably supersede anything else.
Mindset
don't they?
Is everything. I think everyone's heard that saying and belief. You know and. Mm-hmm. I always say to my clients, no one's going to come and save you, right? You need to do the work yourself. I'm here to support you. I'll show you the steps, but you need to take the action. Otherwise, where are you going to be in 12 months' time? And that's one thing I do. I have a team of women. We jump on a Zoom together and we talk about the beginning of the year. I know goals, but they are important. You need to have clarity. We look over what was 2023, what did you learn from it? Don't look down at it. Take it as a positive and we can learn from it. And then let's look forward to 2024. And where are you going to be at the end of 2024? Then I just ask the question, where were you 12 months ago and 12 months ago before that? Have you moved? Have you changed? Have you got healthier, fitter? Have you found that job? Are you earning more money financially? How are your relationships? Has that improved or is it still the same? And it just makes them think. And just help them to put some steps in place how to move forward.
Yeah, I had a really good friend, and I reckon if we could ever find out what changes that click in the mind to say that they do it. Because they always say, I want to lose weight, so they come to you and they do, and they'll never change. They'll go back into their old habits, but they really want to do it? And then when they come out, but then all of a sudden, just it could be a year later, it could be whatever, it clicks.
It clicks, yeah.
And then they just lose the weight or they get their goal and they're on their way.
So women would be more... This is just a general word. Women would be more preoccupied with weight and men would be preoccupied with tone and muscle and looking good.
Yeah, like energy is the big one for men. Like I'm feeling lethargic, tired, want to lose weight. And then for women, it's hormones and weight loss. Because that's sort of combined together. And I think that if you eat less, is going to help. It's actually worse.
So what you put in your mouth is probably the preeminent, that is probably the be all and end all of the start of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also love to get my girls or women or guys to write every, I love doing this. I'm not sure how you guys think about this, is in the morning, just have a journal a little bit. Yeah. As though you're in the present moment. I am so grateful that I am 10 kilos lighter. I'm feeling amazing. I've got energy. And I've got this new job. I'm absolutely loving it. Whatever that may be, what their goals are. Because if you go back to that each morning, you're feeding your mind, the self-talk changes, and it reminds you where you're at, what you want to do.
Do you know I got slammed one day? I love that method of writing down everything you eat because I think people subconsciously think that they didn't eat that much and really if you see how much you actually ate over that period of time. And I got slammed by a nutritionist one day. Like she said, oh no, you can't promote that and you know that's bad, that's mentally bad. And I said, well, isn't that good because you actually seen what you actually write down? Just try it for 2 or 3 days, write down, you know what a carb and a protein is, and sometimes you see, oh, that's a carb, sugar, carb, and look, think, wow, my diet is predominantly sugar and carbs and not your protein, so you can obviously make changes from then on.
Well, there's so much information out there about it now. Yeah. Like even the Fitness Power app, you know, if you want to take a photograph of your photo, of your food, it'll tell
you
amazing,
what
the macros are.
What they can do now.
I was going to say that MyFitnessPal and apps like that, they are so good at tracking, you know, all your macros and things like that. And if you write down what you've had for at least a week, you'd be absolutely shocked in what you've eaten. Chicken and a biscuit and Tim Tams and here and there.
Things that sneak in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just keeping yourself like accountable to, you know, things that whatever you want to do. You know, you might want to lose 10 kilos or you might want to look a certain shape, but without that, you're just running blind.
Yeah, and just remember the steps. That's really easy. Yeah. Being so active. Even if I get to 7,000 steps, it's like, oh, I've got to get that 3,000 more just to, just discipline and habit. Because when you start to cheat, you cheat a bit more, you cheat a bit more, you cheat a bit more.
I've seen some people just walking up and down outside my place trying to get their steps up. I said, what are you doing? And they just said, I'm just about ready to go back to the department and then I've got to get my steps up. So they're just walking up and down.
It makes a huge difference.
So in the cutthroat world of glamour and glitz of being a television star on Gladiator, did you experience the bitchiness of the contestants, the people vying for your job, the recriminations, the knife backstabbing, did you have any problem with any of that, or did you find out what people are really like and it's every man or woman for himself?
Sam, none of that.
No,
I had nothing to prove. I'd already won national championships, world championships, so I just went out there and performed.
It is
what it is. And all that small talk or whatever, I never engage in that. No. I remove myself from it.
Even when you
I'm the wrong person to ask that.
Even when you became a gladiator rather than a contender?
I wasn't suggesting you were doing that. I was saying that people around you
were really well.
Jealousy and wanting...
I don't think so.
Wanting to upend you.
I mean, there always is the tall puppy syndrome, isn't there? Like, you know.
There always is.
There always is, but...
And these gladiators are on now.
How good is it? It is. Great memories.
I think it's just a little bit different to when you guys...
Yeah.
Am I true in saying that?
Very different. So we were in a stadium, so we had a live audience, and we had a lot of music. So, for example, when we fell off Duel, they would play Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you watched the UK Gladiators, so that they've also restarted. But there is a lot like they're using the same music. They've done a lot of this old things. So their launch date, they had 8.4 million viewers, the biggest ever in 10 years. So ours hasn't quite done that. Obviously, the money's a big thing, big audience, popularity is a little bit different.
You guys were quicker back then. I looked at the speed of what the current ones are doing to what you guys...
Yeah, but
you were harder.
They've got the pyramid chucked in the eliminator now, okay. So that's a little bit different.
Maybe.
Different order as well. And the boys had the hand bike.
Yeah.
Now they have the monkey bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the gladiators are doing... Like, they're amazing athletes. Even the contenders... They've changed them to contenders, not challengers.
Yeah.
So you said when you went into the pool, there was 3,000 people turned up about for the just to have a crack at being famous and joining the big time.
Yes.
That's pretty extraordinary just to get there.
And that was just Melbourne, right? So they would have done that in every city.
And... When you got there, did you think, my God, what are these people applying for? They're just people turned up and you knew they had no chance of actually...
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all?
No, I just... Everyone? No, it was even, right? It's like, hey, I've just got to go out there and do what I know, perform hard and...
There were a lot of different shapes and sizes.
Oh, yeah, like you had so many different people that were just unbelievable. I mean, some of those, like, if I look back at it, it's like, wow, did I do that? How did I do that? And I've looked back at some of my replays. It's like, if that happened or that happened, I wouldn't have had that head start. Or it's just the way it evolved.
And that, because you were there, and it was the first thing that was happening, so you weren't in the moment. You were just
I didn't know what was going on. I was there. Okay, gladiator game, Duel. Right, this is what I'm doing. I wouldn't even know what my other contestant was.
Who were the hosts when you
Kimberly Joseph and Mike Hammond.
Yeah.
And Mike Whitney was the referee.
Yeah, oh yes, and were they? They were convivial and
they were fantastic.
Yeah, they were good, yeah.
Fantastic, yes, really good.
Not Dr. Ben. It's surprising that they haven't got you as a commentator for this one.
Well, they've got the referee, Hammer, Mark McGaw, as the referee. Yeah, the amount of times I've been asked, are you guys doing a guest appearance? Are you coming back? What do you reckon? How'd you go?
I would love to see you as host.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah, I thought you'd be good.
They're doing a good job.
They're doing good, yeah. But you've been there, done that too, so...
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have wished I knew about it. I'm sure they put it out somewhere, but I never saw it, so...
Yeah. But
well, Lorene Bavart, it's fantastic. You are a star, an all-round star, looking after people, trying to make them as fit as they can be, being a success on a program that is world-famous, so... Thanks for coming in and speaking to us, and we wish you well. You've got two boys, you said? Two girls. So you got married to, I presume you're married, you got married after...
2007 I got married, I think. 2004, how bad's that?
2004, and Mr. Bavart thought, my word, look at this, this is the person for me. What?
Nothing.
Oh, well, sorry.
Keep going.
No, I am. So you're not.
She's great.
I'm a single mum.
I beg your pardon.
That's okay.
Anyhow, I've had three cracks at it. Well, he must have thought that originally, and why wouldn't he? And I think that now. Can I get myself any further into a bigger hole? Lorraine, thank you so much for coming in, and you are. It's great to speak to someone who is a really a successful person, and you are that. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's been amazing. So good. Thank you.
Great chat.
Thank you.